Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we're halfway home here on a hump day, baby. We're rolling. We got Niners, Saints. George Kittle, he's going to be out a little bit. We got a new kicker also in Santa Clara.
Eddie Pinheiro. We had someone
Pinheiro.
On earlier.
Yeah. What? Has the NA, so it's Pinheiro.
Oh, okay. Pinheiro.
There you go.
Who we talked to one of the Carolina beat writers earlier and says,
Joe Person.
This guy's money inside of 50. Outside of 50, not so much. And I think Niner fans will sign up for that.
They will. Giants fans are signing up for whatever the hell they're doing right now, which is just being on fire. Going for the sweep today against the D-backs. We just had Dave Fleming join us, voice of the Niners. Voice of the Giants, excuse me. And he had some interesting thoughts on the rest of this season, manager, pitchers, all of it. If you missed any of it, find it on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And you know the number to get involved. It's 888-957-9570. So we talked a lot of Giants baseball this morning. I did want to pivot now to the San Francisco 49ers because we did get the news yesterday that George Kittle is going to be put on the IR. So at minimum, Joe, he's going to miss the next four games, which is obviously a brutal blow. He's, quite frankly, he was the best 49er last year. Cut and dry. I know he wasn't first-team All-Pro like Fred was. He was second-team All-Pro, but George Kittle was the team's best player last season. And now he's going to miss the next four games. That is the most trusted agent on that offense for your quarterback, whether it be Brock Purdy or if Mac Jones has to go this week. We do know that Juwan Jennings, as we heard in the injury report, is day-to-day. So that's a good news. He avoided any significant injury with that shoulder because we were talking about yesterday the hypothetical of not having both Kittle and Jennings, which would be brutal heading into this week. The workload for Christian McCaffrey, obviously major concerns there. So there's a lot heading into this game. It's just week two. But, Joe, I wanted to start here. The head coach, Kyle Shanahan. I did a deep dive yesterday. I had some time on my hands, which is the nice. But about 12, 1 o'clock, I'm either taking a little bit of a nap or I'm trying to do a deep dive and get some nuggets on the upcoming game. And so I was just wondering. All right, so what are the angles with the New Orleans Saints? It's a new regime. They don't have Derek Carr. They don't have Dennis Allen. If Spencer Rattler, the quarterback, is like, eh.
I don't know if I can name four or five defensive players on New Orleans.
I think you could actually, like, I'm going to tell you some names that you'd actually be surprised. Like, you'll hear of them.
Cam Jordan.
Cam Jordan. Chase Young, former Niner.
Oh, he's, on there. He's a Saint. Oh.
He's a Saint.
I didn't know he was there again this year.
Not Gary Saint, Gene, but he is a Saint. DeMario Davis, you've heard of.
Oh, yeah, linebacker.
There you go. Isaac Yiadom, former Niners there.
Pick on him.
There you go. Justin Reed. Kool-Aid McKinstry. What is one of the all-time names, by the way, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay, there are some names I recognize.
There are some names. And you recognize the head coach, Kellen Moore. Obviously, whether that be the former Boise State quarterback, which he was for a long
time. Statue of Liberty plays, what I think of.
There you go.
One of the all-time winningest college football players ever.
I think of him and Chris Peterson, the then head coach there with those veneers, those teeth that he's got on the sideline, them coming up short. Colin Kaepernick and the Wolfpack taking them down back in the day, preventing them from having a BCS berth. But you could think of him there, or you could think of him as the offensive coordinator, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, and most recently last year with the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. But it's, he's a first-time head coach in the National Football League. And it got me thinking, how many times has Kyle Shanahan gone up against first-time head coaches? And when I say first-time head coaches, I mean first-time, not second stint, not first-time with the team. This is first-time, their first year being a head coach. And I did a deep dive on this since he came into the league. So I got it right here. I got my little notes app, and I took some notes.
Shanny is sneaky, still young, and sneakily been in the league a decade in terms of a head coach.
Yeah.
He just entered. The Fox put it on, and I've talked about this over and over, but Fox on the broadcast put it on the graphic before the game. Longest tenured 49er coach since Bill Walsh. It's kind of crazy.
It's his ninth season. He's his ninth season, Joe. So 2017, he came in there, and it was the same time as another rookie head coach in his division, Sean McVay. They went 1-1 against the Rams that year. So
okay.
He was 1-1 against a first-time head coach. So I just did the deep dive. So 1-1 in 2017. 2018, he actually played quite a few.
Really?
He was 1-4 in that season. So not great. 2019, obviously go to the Super Bowl that season. 5-0 against first-time head coaches. 2020, 1-0. All right, but kind of a lost year. 2021. 5-0 again.
Wow.
So, again, you're sensing a theme here. As he's getting better, these rosters are getting better and better, he's getting better and better against some of these first-time head coaches. Now, some of this is also, there's a lot baked into it. A first-time head coach is probably inheriting a team that's not very good. Like he did, right? So there's obviously some nuance to all this, and I'm just presenting the information. Take it how you will, all right? So 2021, 5-0. 2022, 1-2. 2023, 2-0. In 2024, last year, he was 2-1. So overall, he's 17-7 going up against teams with first-time head coaches in their first season. Yes. So it actually got me thinking, not what I was like planning on doing, so I was just looking at his winning percentage, but it just got me thinking, Joe, this guy's been in the league for so long, and the amount of names that like we just forget that were first-time head coaches and we'll never see again, it's pretty incredible. Like, I had names that I forgot about in here.
Give me some of the names.
Joe Judge.
Wow.
Joe Judge beat him.
No way.
Pat Shurmur beat him.
In my mind, Pat Shurmur has got like, you know those like old cartoons where the guy's got the nightgown and he's woken up in the middle of the night? That's what I think of when I think of Pat Shurmur.
Ebenezer
like a
Scrooge.
Sleeping cap?
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
Ebenezer
does that make
Scrooge.
Sense?
Yes, that's exactly.
It's him and Joe Philbin.
And he's getting haunted by the ghost of Christmas past.
Exactly. Him and Joe Philbin are the same guy to me.
Joe Philbin's a great call. So names like that. Matt Eberflus a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, Matt Eberflus.
Making his debut. They beat him with Justin Fields in that monsoon.
That's right.
Like, so those are some of the names that he's gone up against. Steve Wilkes, once upon a time, who was what? 2-0 against him, by the way.
And he was built for that.
He was built, I'm going to say, I'm built for this. So those are just some of the names. By the way, Dan Campbell, another name that he won. Like, so there are some names.
Interesting.
Matt LaFleur, he's played up against some of these guys that are still in the league or that you'll never hear from again. So it was just interesting to go through there. And honestly, I came away from it, Joe, being more appreciative of Kyle Shanahan. And I think we as fans need to appreciate longevity in the NFL first and foremost way more than we probably do. Like, I get it. Steve Kerr's been there for a long time. He's got the skins and the pelts on the wall. He's got the championships. You know, he was a great player in his own right. He made some big shots and big moments. We knew who Steve Kerr is. And he's going to be a made man and go down as one of the greatest of all time in his sport when it comes to coaching. And rightfully so, I believe. But with Kyle Shanahan, I just came away so appreciative of how well he has been able to kind of weather this storm of these injuries, of the nature of the National Football League. And let's not get it twisted. The fact that he's maintained a pretty freaking good relationship with ownership and the general manager all this time, by the way, still the same at both. I don't think we talk enough about that. As we're watching that Cowboy doc, as we're watching rifts between head coaches and GMs, as we are hearing the disgruntled nature, as we watch teams like the New York Jets have all that dysfunction for years and years, the Carolina Panthers. How many different head coaches did you say? Eddie Pinheiro?
Five?
In just one spot.
Yeah.
And they've had multiple ownership changes. They've had multiple general manager changes. They've had... It hasn't happened with Kyle Shanahan. And I don't think we celebrate enough of the wins when it comes to that.
No, I hear you. But this isn't the Carolina Panther fan base, right? To use them as an example. You know, I'm old enough to remember George Seifert won two Super Bowls and was fired after 8 years. Now, that's an extreme remembrance, and I don't know how many of the audience even knows how great George Seifert was. He's one of the greatest coaches the game has ever had.
Should be a Hall of Famer.
You were talking about all the things that Kyle has done so well over the years in terms of working with management. I mean, he did oversee the transition from Joe Montana to Steve Young, and he was a defensive guy.
He was.
All right? He did oversee a crazy time in the NFL where the Cowboys rose to prominence and the Green Bay Packers rose to prominence, and you probably saw some of the greatest quarterback play of the 90s in three straight years of Brett Favre. And why did he get fired? Because he couldn't beat Brett Favre. Because they kept losing in the playoffs. So I think a lot of the rhetoric about Kyle Shanahan is baked into the history of the team. Like, for example, I look at Anthony Volpe at shortstop with the Yankees. The criticism for Anthony Volpe is cranked up. Why? Because he's playing shortstop for the Yankees.
It's the pinstripes.
And it's an unfair ghost that he's chasing, who is Derek Jeter, who's a model citizen and one of the greatest players ever, even if I think he's slightly overrated defensively as a player. He's a great all-time player.
I mean, you're talking about the ghost of Christmas past. I mean, that's the ghost of Yankees past all the time. You're constantly fighting up against them. Constantly.
So I look at Kyle Shanahan, and I think, fair or not, he will always be compared to Bill Walsh, which is so unfair, to George Seifert, who gets forgotten at all times, to Jim Harbaugh, to all these other guys. And I think that when we look at, okay, he's in year nine. George never got to year nine.
No.
George got fired. Now, I know it's a different regime. It was different times. There was different metrics and all that. But I do think that there's a standard for the fan base, fair or not, that he has to live up to. I think there's a standard to the fan base, fair or not, that Brock Purdy lives up to.
Has Kyle Shanahan lived up to that standard for Niner fans? I wonder. 888-957-9570, because I think we're going to get a lot of cynical people saying, well, he hasn't the standard of the Super Bowl. So by definition, yeah, he's gone to a couple of them. You haven't won them. So no, you haven't lived up to the standard. But I'd say the model of consistency, the fact that he's maintained a healthy relationship with his general manager, John Lynch, with ownership, with Jed York, and he's been able to have not one, not two, but three different iterations of this team, because this is the third, is you like to call it the Niners 3.0 mm-hmm. right now. And they might still make the playoffs this year, and we'll see what they do and if they can. Like, I just came away with so much respect as I was doing this deep dive. The longest tenured head coach since Bill Walsh in 49ers history. It's actually an incredible sentence to say, Joe.
It is.
And I know you're a historian of the game. And I do wonder, you know, how we're going to be viewing Kyle Shanahan when it's all said and done and the book still hasn't been written. But I say all that to say, this is why you win this week. This is why I have a head coach like that. Like, I'm not losing. I cannot wrap my head around. I know you and Bonte, we were all talking about it. It's like, don't sleep on the Saints. Don't sleep on the Saints.
Well, it's the NFL.
It's the NFL. But also, I got Kyle Shanahan. I got Brock Purdy. I'm not losing to Spencer Rattler. And I'm not losing to Kellen Moore, first-time head coach. I'm just not.
I mean, they lost to, okay, they lost to P.J. Walker. Just hear me out. They lost, when they were fully healthy, they lost to P.J. Walker.
Wasn't a first-time head coach, though.
No,
Kevin Stefanski knows what he's doing. And also,
a backup quarterback,
and also,
though,
that was a little different because Jim Schwartz is the kryptonite to one. No, seriously, is he not? Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator, Browns, is the kryptonite to Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, we're looking, like, it's still the NFL. They drive big cars and live in big homes, too.
I hear you, but this is what I lean on if I'm a Niner fan. I'm going with my guys over that 10 times out of 10, not even close. That's why, ultimately, Joe, that's why you're going to be picking the Niners this week, because you're riding with Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. You're not riding with Kellen Moore and Spencer Rattler.
Well, if
you're
it's Mac Jones, it's 50-50 to me. If it's Purdy, I feel a lot better. But I'm not, I don't sleep on opponents. I dissed the Vikings last year and Sam Darnold, who I thought was a joke, and it came back to bite me, and I learned a lesson, and I'm trying to show growth.
I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think you said that.
No. But I want to make it abundantly clear that this could still be a tight game, but ultimately, it's going to be the veteran leadership of those two positions, the head coach and the quarterback, that gets it done. Or you could go veteran leadership on the defensive side as well. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Demo Lenore. And again, I keep coming back to that defense and that performance, man. Oh my! Well, I feel so much better about the season already because of, and it sounds insane, of a one game sample size on defense. It looked night and day to me. Incredible.
No, I'm glad you brought up Saleh because I brought up Seifert for a reason earlier. Bill Walsh had Seifert as his defensive coordinator for about a decade, you know, and Seifert was a trusted assistant. And their defenses were not just good, they were elite. Every year they won it all. They were in top six, seven, every single metric for Bill Walsh. And so you can't talk about how great that team was without also talking about how dynamic those defenses were. Charles Haley, Ronnie Lott. I mean, those are two of the greatest players to play defense in Niner uniform at any time. Shanahan is different with Saleh on the sideline. Now, I know he had great success with D'Amico Ryans, but when I watched it over the weekend and I'm seeing Robert Saleh on the sidelines with Kyle Shanahan, there's just the whole vibe of the team feels different, and it permeates through the screen. Seeing him celebrate with his guys, clearly the two top dogs on defense love him and trust him and believe in him, but I just feel so much more comfortable that they're going to get things done. So, like, you're right about Shanahan, and I hear you, but I do think Shanahan gets elevated when he has Saleh on the staff, and I think Saleh's elevated as a DC alongside Kyle as the head coach. Like, they are a perfect 1-2 punch. So, as you talk about Shanahan, Saleh was just what the doctor ordered as an acquisition in the offseason. So I think they both kind of go hand in hand for me right now.
Well, and Shanahan gets credit for bringing him back. Like, that's where you credit the head coach.
No
like,
doubt.
That's
and
under
I was
him.
Really down on that.
Yep, people were. They
I just thought
innovative.
Like I wanted something new.
No, I think you and Bonte, you were talking about maybe Eberflus if you can get him. Maybe if Dennis Allen was out
injecting
there,
injecting some new. Yeah,
exactly, something new, but something new, but also had experience at that spot
yes.
too. Because with the lack of experience from Nick Sorensen, that was glaring at times. But the fact that you brought in someone that was familiar, I think, is very important in this season. You could hear it from Nick Bosa. You can hear it from Fred Warner. He just gets the juices flowing a little bit. Now, he saw it immediately on the sidelines, even back to preseason. Sparky in Alameda wants to join in the conversation
yeah.
in regards to the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Sparky, what's up? You're on the morning
roast. What's up, Sparky?
Good morning, fellas. And you know what? I'm having my coffee ready, and there's no better capital to have it like with you guys as well.
Let's go.
Yes, coach. So listen, you know what? 49ers got the win. Unfortunately, in my book, the Seahawks got the bigger win, which is, I think all the time they were playing, they had one thing in mind. It's like, not well, obviously to win the game, but to be able to take the 49ers out from that division by eliminating as many players they had by they playing aggressiveness. The 49ers, they just are super smart when they came to play, but they just don't play aggressive. And we need to bring the guns out because...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Other teams are stronger, and we do have a kind of young quarterback still, and he's still soft. So they're gonna be he's gonna be sacked back and forth, and you know what? They just gotta play aggressive, and because all the teams are doing it. And
Sparky, you don't think that Nick Bosa play to win the game and force a fumble was aggressive?
I don't. You know what?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Sparky and Alameda. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm sorry. What was that? Oh, I know the Niners won the game, but did they really win the game? Yes. They're 1-0.
He had a pretty good point on the phone that he was making about wanting to see Kyle Shanahan be more aggressive with his play calling, which I thought he was getting to that, but clearly he called an audible on hold.
Caller screening.
No, I'm throwing the caller under the bus for changing his take.
Sparky under the bus,
Sam. I know you do a good job. It's okay, buddy.
But that happens, you know. Maybe his take shifted as he was on hold. Who knows? But for you to say
he pivoted, not panicked.
Well, he basically said that, and also was like insinuating that the Seahawks were trying to hurt the Niners players. Like, no, George Kittle. I almost called him George Hamstring. George Kittle pulled his hamstring. Like, I'm sorry, that wasn't because of what Leonard Williams did to him. He pulled a hammy. Like, and the notion that Brock Purdy is soft, I would never say that about that quarterback ever. That Brock Purdy is quote unquote soft ever. Go up there up close and personal with those guys. Look at the size and speed at which they hit these players. Brock took some shots in that game, Joe. I know you've been sending him in the group chat, like, when did he get hurt? Trying to diagnose the foot injury, the shoulder.
He took some huge hits.
He took some shots in that game.
I mean, that defensive line was ferocious.
Would you say he's soft?
No. Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Brock Purdy?
That's stupid.
Part of what makes Brock Purdy so amazing is his ability to hang in there and deliver a ball while taking one straight to the face mask.
Thank you.
And it's a part why I'm like, hey, maybe pick and choose a little better. You know, like, I don't want him taking the amount of hits that he takes. I think there are some plays that he held on to the ball a little long where I'm like, just eat that play.
Just eat it. Shout out Weird Al Yankovic. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about Kyle Shanahan, sneakily longest tenured head coach in 49ers history since Bill Walsh.
It's pretty remarkable.
Incredible. Let me
ask you about something, though, because, like, fair or not, like, you know, who you follow in life does matter. Like, was Dusty Baker a great Giants manager?
I mean, he got to a World Series.
Oh, you talk to people my age, we love Dusty Baker. Yeah. We love him. He's like, we knew he had flaws, but we freaking love him. Had Dusty come after Bochy, wouldn't we view Dusty different? And that's, like, he could do all the same stuff, right? But Bochy is the gold standard now. It has recalibrated. So anyone after him gets run through the whole ringer, if you will. And it's fair or not, like, you're chasing the Bochy stuff, and it's almost impossible.
Has Kyle Shanahan lived up to the 49ers standard for you Niner fans? 888-957-9570.
What is the standard?
What is this? Well, that's kind of what I want to get at, because every single team that's won a Super Bowl is going to immediately say, no, that's the standard. So if we're going to say that, then you can't have any success. So if Kyle Shanahan, you know, hangs it up after this season, he's no longer going to coach the 49ers, we're really going to sit here and say, yeah, I mean, he didn't get it done, so he was a failure here. Really? Is that how we're going to view it? We got to have a little bit more nuance than that as a fan base, right? Because the 49er fans, I like to think, are one of the more smarter fan bases when it comes to the NFL.
I keep saying, I said this for multiple years, to me, he's Don Nelson in football. We love him.
Did Don Nelson ever get to an NBA Finals as a coach?
Yeah, with Milwaukee, I believe. He drives us completely insane. We love him. We think he's extremely innovative. But part of his own stubbornness gets in his own way, if that makes any sense whatsoever. They are very, very similar to me. And I love Don Nelson. I love Don Nelson. I also think that he had some specific flaws that always bit him in the butt when push came to shove. And I feel similarly with Kyle. There are some things, and all coaches have bugaboos. There are some things that he kind of gets in his own way on.
Speaking of flaws, what's the biggest flaw of this 49ers team? We have a one-week reaction. What do you think is the biggest detriment to this team right now? Conversely, what do you think this team's hanging their hat on after 1 week, heading into a monster matchup in New Orleans? It's 10 a.m. start. Early, get your breakfast going, get your breakfast burrito. Chassis going to have his, I don't know, whatever he's eating, his cereal, his Special K, I don't know, his senior's breakfast. Kidding. What are you eating on a 49ers morning, Joe? What are you snacking on? What are you eating?
On a 49er morning?
Yes, because at 10 o'clock you're going to be playing. You're going to be locked in.
With the little guy, we're up at like 5:30 in the morning and we're making eggs and bacon.
So at 5:30?
Well, I mean, like, no. Around 6, yeah, we eat right away.
Oh, my God. God bless you.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're locked in. I'm glad he eats the bacon, by the way.
I whip up 4 eggs, okay. And then I throw a little bit of heavy whipping cream in there, just a little, just to, like, fluff up the eggs a little. And then I fry those and make a couple slices of toast, put some cream cheese on it, and we're good.
I'm so hungry right now. By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Come on back. It's Spadoni, Shasky. It's the Morning Roast. The biggest flaw on this 49ers team currently is up next.
Biggest bugaboo of this team. And between years and years of excellence to where you recalibrate as a fan base. Case in point, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys last won a Super Bowl in the 90s. Well, the Niners, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that the Cowboys' standard is winning Super Bowls. But they also haven't knocked on the door enough for them to raise their standards and their expectations. Yes, they want to win. They want to be good. Every team wants to win. They want to be good. But, like, to use the 90s as their standard, to me, feels off. We're off here.
There is a difference between the national perception of standards and a given fan base and their expectations of standards.
All right.
Sometimes there's a shift there because there's a reason they always shove the Cowboys or the Lakers or, you know, the Knicks down our throat. There's a reason for that. Why? Because they're the big markets. And also, they think, those teams and those owners think that they should be competing for championships every single year. Doesn't mean it should be. It's happening.
Yeah.
So the actual fans, the diehard fans, mm-hmm. no. The Joe Shasky's of the world, they know. Hey, we're not competing.
They were celebrating in the streets after a series win in the first round, New York Knicks fans.
There you go. Bing bong, right? That's their thing. That's what they were doing.
So I guess where I'm going at with the Niners is, like, do I think it's fair that we go, the standard was winning Super Bowls in the 80s and 90s? Well, it's been a long time since that. It's 30-something years. No, I don't think that's the standard. But I think we're in this weird, tiny little loophole where we've been knocking on the door, and we've been excellent. We've been to 7, 8 NFC Championship games in 15 years. How many teams in any sport can say they've been to this semifinals and finals in any sport and not won it all?
I think we did the exercise, and we found it was the Mets. Like, the Mets have probably been the only one this century.
And they're not even close to the Niners. The Niners have been better.
No, yeah, that's a great point.
So now it's not like, oh, meet the standard of the 90s. Now it's like, can we just get over the hump once?
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I think Shanahan is victim of prior dynasties and the unrealistic expectations of coming close to that. I think he's unfortunately, you know, falling victim of Jim Harbaugh not winning at all during his reign, and then him not winning the big one time during his time. Like, that sucks. Like, he's chasing, like, 5 different ghosts right now.
And if you're just joining us, why are we talking about this? Well, I did a deep dive yesterday on Kyle Shanahan, who's been here now with his 9th season. He's the longest tenured 49ers head coach since Bill Walsh. And they're going up against a first-time head coach this weekend in Kellen Moore. And it just got me thinking, like, how many other times has Kyle Shanahan faced off against first-time head coaches? And this is going to be, what, his 25th time, I believe, because he's 17-7 overall. So this is going to be his 25th time going up against a first-time head coach in their first season. And it just got me thinking about all the different coaches, as we're doing Ghosts of Christmas Past, coaches of Christmas Past, if you will, that he's played against, beaten, not beaten. And it just, I gained a newfound appreciation for him. But I don't feel that same appreciation from a lot of the Niners fan base, because I feel like the Niners fans are viewing it as, like you're just referencing, through the lens of the Seiferts and the Walshes and the standard that was set 30-plus years ago. But when do standards shift? 888-957-9570.
I guess, what are the current standards for the Niners, and what are the expectations? I do think there's, let's go to the extreme. For some people on the extreme side of the room, until they win a Super Bowl, nothing will be good enough. I get it. Like, again, we've knocked on the door so many times. Like, I do. I'm not even mad at those people. Like, I get it. I'm pissed and exhausted too. And all these losses have mounted up, and it's almost impossible to try to comprehend.
There's people in their cars or listening right now that are instantly getting triggered by us even having this conversation.
Exactly.
They say, this is a non-starter. It's what it is. I'm turning this off. It's always Super Bowl or bust. Always. Well, no.
It's also a little unreasonable.
They've been at the door twice. They've been so close, Kyle Shanahan. So for me, like, I have to take a step back here and say, hey, if the tenure is over, like, I got to view it as a success right now if it ended right now. You could choose.
No, if it ended now, it was a successful run.
Yes, it was.
But also, there is something to be said for, you know, you've been here a long time, you've done this, and, like, you didn't do enough, or you didn't get over the hump, and, you know, we need to go in. Like, those are all different conversations. So I understand people on the extreme side of the room saying, until you win a Super Bowl, nothing will be good enough. I I do get it. I do. And it's not like you're unreasonable. Like, if you were a Cardinal fan saying anything less than the Super Bowl, like, that would sound ridiculous.
Yeah.
Would it not?
It would, because they never even won one in
their
history.
What I'm saying. They haven't even knocked on the door, it feels like, in 20 years. On the other side of the room, what's even more extreme is he's the coach forever, and no matter what he does is good, no matter how bad things get, nothing is his fault, injuries are out of his control. There is some, like, huge middle ground where we can all meet in the middle. And that's where I go, I don't really know what the expectations are for this year, and I don't know what the standards are for the current 49er fan base anymore. I really don't.
Well, let's ask Thomas in Castro Valley, wants to talk about it. 888-957-9570. Thomas, you're on the Morning Roast. What's up, man?
How's it going? You guys are literally stealing my thunder. You're hitting all the bullet points that I was thinking of. And number one, you got to kind of define, like, what is your standard? It's very subjective, right? To me, it's are we in the discussion? Are we knocking on the door? And without becoming the talk of the Bills, where we're knocking on the door but never getting over that hump, right? To me, Shanahan, yes, we're meeting that standard. Harbaugh met that standard. Singletary did not meet that standard. Mariucci, I feel like he did. So it's are we in the discussion? Are we relevant? Are we making some noise come postseason? And I think it's a little unrealistic to expect Super Bowl or bust every year, even when we are part of that discussion. It's be in that discussion, and then hopefully we can get over that hump. I try to keep it simple like that. I'm a longtime Niner fan, and I'm not going to be unrealistic, and I'm not a Patriots fan either, or am I 6 years, 7 years old, so I don't know all that is winning.
Thank you, Thomas.
It's a great point.
The more I'm thinking about it, too, that's why I keep harping on his relationship with ownership and his general manager and why it's so important, how I view it that way with Kyle Shanahan. The fact that they've had the same ownership in place since he's been here, and now, obviously, the same general manager all this time with John Lynch getting hired at the same time. Like, there is a standard of respectability that you have to have within certain organizations. And I view it the same with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I view it the same
with... The standard is the standard.
Thank you. See, Mike Tomlin knows. It's great. I love that.
Well, does Mike Tomlin think he's living up to the standard?
I do think there is a respectability factor that he brings within that organization for the long time. Now, it's gotten to the point where they've knocked on the door. They've been one and done so many times that this is probably it.
It's good, but not good enough.
But think about all the years that have passed since they've last won a Super Bowl, and it's lasted that long.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
There you go.
That's 9 years ago.
Just 9 years ago. And the last time they won a Super Bowl, or been to a Super Bowl, I guess I should say, was 2012 against the Packers, right? I think 2011-ish, around that time. But he's won one, too. So that does help in that conversation. But I'm talking about the standard of respectability within certain organizations. That is a must. You know, the Niners were a laughingstock prior to Kyle Shanahan. Like, they were in that gap after Jim Harbaugh left in that final season. Joe, they became a laughingstock, winning with class. Trent Baalke, the owner, couldn't stop talking. Jim Tomsula, Fartgate, Chip Kelly in the shakes. They became a laughingstock. They also became very polarizing also because of all the Colin Kaepernick, all of that. Their Q rating publicly and nationally was at an all-time low, it felt like.
Well, and I think everyone always references that. Ownership did that.
You know,
like they sided with the wrong people. The fans didn't do that.
No.
The fans wanted to keep, the majority of fans wanted to keep Harbaugh.
Yes.
And the majority of fans also had the backdrop of what happened before Harbaugh, which was closer to Chip Kelly and Tom Sula than it was Harbaugh. Harbaugh was the high watermark before Shanahan of the whole DeBartolo York. I'm talking about Denise DeBartolo York, her tenure as owner.
Absolutely. I will also say this, though. Like, Jim Harbaugh was not an easy man to work with, and Jim Harbaugh was not a saint when it came to that whole relationship either. He was at fault, and I think most people side with Jim Harbaugh on all of this because of what Jim meant and the rah-rah nature, and he was the head coach. I get all that, and no one's ever going to be pro-owner. Like, that never happens, ever, in the history of ever, outside of maybe Joe Lacob, and we'll see once post-Steph if people are going to turn on Joe Lacob.
Robert Kraft was the golden boy for 20 years, and people now hate his guts.
And then, you know, that massage parlor happened in Florida, and now it's all downhill since then. So, like, literally, like, it can shift that quickly. So the fact that they brought in Kyle and didn't have immediate success, and it took a little bit, took some time, and then all of a sudden we saw, wow, 2019, they go on the Super Bowl run. And since then, his relationship with ownership and – I don't know if it was him saying it. I don't know who got in Jed York's ear. But the fact that the owner really hasn't said anything the last, you know, decade is really...
Except the week of the Super Bowl, which I told him not to say anything.
Well, don't talk about it yet. We've got to reset the quarterback market, whatever.
It bothers me.
And they ended up making him the highest paid player in the franchise anyways. But that withstanding, he's been pretty damn quiet and he's kept his head down. And that's what you need to do as an ownership. And then with his general manager. Like, how often do we see head coaches and general managers butt heads? We see it all the time in sports. I mean, Farhan Zaidi
everywhere
on line one, right?
Doug Peterson and Howie.
Hey,
sports.
We see the stressful nature of it. Bob Myers had to step down. Mm-hmm. He couldn't take it anymore. Like, so the fact that they've been able to have that consistency top to bottom with really no drama, that's a feather in the cap of the 49ers organization and meeting the standard that I think, and bringing back a standard of respectability. I put that on Kyle Shanahan's shoulders.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyle's
definitely done that. I think, you know, if we want to have a deep dive on Jed screwed this whole thing up by saying the standard is Super Bowls. And that was his mistake. And again, he hasn't referenced that for over a decade. But that was his mistake, which he has learned from, when he didn't give the extension to Harbaugh. And then he went about saying, we don't hang, you know, banners for NFC championships. And we don't hang banners. We win Super Bowls. And it was like, well, wait a minute. You're using the standard of what your uncle did, not what you and your family has done as owners. And I think he made those mistakes. And I will give him credit because I've bashed Jed at every turn when it's deserved. But he learned from that mistake. That was a horrible mistake. So I think for a lot of fans, it's hard for them to get out of their heads what they did to Harbaugh and what they said as an ownership group, what their standards were. And then pivoting when Shanahan got here and giving Shanahan an extension without the Super Bowl, which, again, the nuance is that was the right move.
Yeah.
And the nuance is like that showed growth from the owner. But he never came out and publicly said, hey, I'm actually recalibrating the standards. And the standards are not the 80s and 90s because that's unrealistic. The standard is this guy's doing a hell of a job. And, yeah, we want him to win the big one. And he wants to win the big one. And we're rewarding him regardless because we think he eventually will win the big one. He never came out and said that, but his actions spoke that. And I think for a lot of fans, because he hasn't come out and said it and there hasn't been a soundbite that we could drown on for years, because let's call it what it is, the radio stations like this one here, what soundbite did we play for 6 or 7 straight years? Winning with class.
Yep.
We don't hang banners. Like we held him accountable on those statements, and his actions have actually pivoted from those statements, but he's never come out and said it. So I think everything's really confusing for a lot of fans, and I think there's a wide gamut of what the standard currently is and what the expectations are. For me right now, I'll tell you what my expectations are. Like, I want to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Look, if the quarterback goes down, I'm going to recalibrate and I will change what my expectations are. But even if Kittle's out, which he will be until the middle of October, even if, let's just say, CMC goes down, I still think making the playoffs in the NFL is a difficult task and should be the expectations for even this team after a 6-11 season last year. They have too many good players at the top end of the payroll. D'Amon Lenore, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Trent Williams, you know, Brock Purdy. There are too many good players to not make the playoffs. If you didn't have a franchise quarterback, I wouldn't have that expectation. My expectation this year is make the playoffs. And then we'll go from there.
What say you, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. What is the current standard within the organization? By the way, tonight, 7 o'clock, Odyssey presents I'm Listening, a special broadcast event featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening will be hosted by Carson Daly and spreads awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. You are not alone. It's okay to not be okay. You can listen right here on 95.7 The Game at 7 o'clock tonight. For more information, visit imlistening.org. We got Oreo Cookie on the line. We'll go to him in just a second. By the way, great job in the back. the producers, because this is what a good producer does. They find sound bites from the players talking about the standard. And that was, you know, last season with this 49ers team. What was the standard coming off the Super Bowl loss? It's getting back to the Super Bowl.
Did you hear the broadcast? Greg Olsen kept referencing, they all admitted to me when we were having our one-on-ones, they obsessed about the Super Bowl too much last year.
Wow.
And every single play, they were trying to prove why they should have won the Super Bowl. It was almost like a detriment as opposed to like a great goal.
And they were asked ad nauseum about it last year, obviously coming off a Super Bowl loss. Let's just go after the Week 2 loss against the Vikings, Joe. Here's George Kittle.
Yeah, let me hear it.
After that loss.
I think our standards are higher than what we put on tape today. It's back-to-back weeks. We've started out like with two not great drives to start off. So we have, as an offense, we have to start better than that and not just have to rely on our defense, who they're going to say that they have to clean stuff up too. But, you know, they caused two turnovers, but we also had two turnovers, so that's tough for us. I think Kyle said that we were really bad on third down. It's hard to win football games when you're like that, and we didn't run the ball that effectively today either. So the things that we're known for being good at, we weren't great at. And so that kind of explains why we lose.
That's a reasonable way of putting it. Like our standards are better than what we did on today's performance.
And they've set the standard high, and they expect those high standards, but doesn't mean you can't make mistakes, right? I thought last week was a perfect example of, yeah, probably the standard wasn't, you know, crapping out in the red zone and missing those kicks those last couple times, but you know what? You won the damn game. And that's ultimately, that's the standard. Winning the game, first and foremost. So that's what I want to preach.
And that's why, like, as you kind of just glance at Sunday's game, you know, you start the season off 2-0. I don't care who it's against. 2-0, and you're going to get all the numbers. Hey, teams that start off 2-0 go to the playoffs X amount of times. 2-0 in the NFL is special. That's good. That's where you want to be. You want to be 2-0.
Well, because you got some breathing room. So even if you lose, I'm not wishing them they lose the next two games. Even if you go and you lose the next two games, you're 2-2. You're still right there, and that's after a month of football.
You've got to just bank wins.
So you've built in some breathing room here. It felt like last year they kept fighting an uphill battle.
And like Joe, like you talked about Kittle going on IR. You got the Seahawks. That's a divisional opponent.
Yep.
Okay, you already played them. You're 1-0 versus them. Saints, well, that's a conference opponent.
It is.
Cardinals, divisional opponent. Jaguar, non-conference, so it's not as impactful to some of these tiebreaker things, but you'd like to win that game.
Yeah.
And then you get the Rams. So he's out 2.5 divisional opponents and 3 conference opponents, essentially.
Brutal. Any chance he comes back for that Rams game?
No, he would be out until the 12th, which is what I had hypothesized yesterday.
God. I was hoping maybe he had like a little special thing with the Thursday Night Football, but that's brutal. But they can still weather this storm without him. We're calling it the September storm, not the Seattle storm, who beat the Valkyries last night. A September storm that they have to weather without their stud tight end.
I love my history of the Niners. You know I do. I love it. I love it. I love the history
of the game, yeah.
But when I hear people like, the standard is the Super Bowl, like I get it. We've been talking about the Super Bowl for 15 years because we keep coming up short. No, now the standard is, can we just get over the hump and win one? That's all I want to do. Does Nebraska football consider themselves the juggernaut that they were in the 80s? No. They have recalibrated. They're probably never going back to that.
No.
Right? Now the standard is very, very, very different. Now, Alabama football has a standard, and they're going to stick by it because they just came off of winning like 8 championships.
It's funny because you brought up the New England Patriots, by the way, who have the most Super Bowls in the history of the NFL. They got 6 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going into this season saying it's a Super Bowl or bust.
No, they just want Drake May to be good.
They have to recalibrate now. They've done so much winning since the start of this century that it's okay for them to have some of these bad years. Niner fans are like, all right, well, it's been 30 years for us. We're kind of getting restless here.
I mean,
so check back to New England Patriots fans and Boston fan in about another 15, 20 years.
But they did fire Gerard Mayo one and done.
They did.
That's pretty bold.
They did. By the way, Gerard Mayo, first-time head coach last year. Kyle Shanahan was 1-1 against him.
Right.
This is what we're talking about
all
the time.
That's right.
I had to see the deep dive
and
all these first-time head coaches that he's beaten. Oreo Cookie wants to talk
Oreo
about the standard for the 49ers. What is the standard for the San Francisco 49ers? What's up, Oreo?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Joe and Joe, I love it on here, baby. I got to hear it twice. But for the standard, I think standards are different for different people. For us fans, the standard is winning. We're a winning organization. We're known for winning. We win in every decade. Now, as far as for players go, I think they have a different standard. It's usually higher up. The standard for the players is to make the playoffs. We have so many top-heavy guys on our squad, and not making the playoffs is a failure. So standards are different for people, but Shanahan has raised the standards to have to be playoffs. It cannot be Super Bowl or bust. I'm with you, man. It's one team out of 32 that could say they won the Super Bowl. So the standard, Kyle raised it up, and it's playoffs, baby.
It's Oreo cookie. So winning, I actually like that too. It's just being a winning organization. And what does that mean? First and foremost, it means winning the football games. But also, you know, winning in regards to the draft. Winning in regards to PR, which is a massive part of this. Because I do think part of why the Cowboys are laughed at so much, Joe, because the Niners have had their faults too. They've had their gaffes. Yeah. I've talked about their Q ratings been low at times. But they haven't been a like laughing stock for an extended period of time.
They've been well run.
That's how I would
agree.
Yes. And the Cowboys, great. You could say, and I hear this all the time, they're winning at business. Well, part of business is winning the PR battles, and Jerry Jones has taken some big fat L's in that regard. No bigger than losing your franchise's best player. Micah Parsons is gone, and he got a box of cupcakes for it.
Well, they're a carnival compared to the Niners.
Yes! And that matters to me. That's the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. These were the two rivals in the 90s, Joe. And since then, the standard has been much higher, I feel like, in San Francisco. And they've lived up much better to that standard than the Dallas Cowboys has, even though the Cowboys are shoved down our throat left and right.
Do you think the average 49er fan that texts in, calls in, chimes in on the chat, and they're a little probably more obsessed than those outside of this station, but like, does the average 49er fan, from your perspective, have too high of standards for the team and the coach?
I wouldn't say too high. It's usually a mixed bag. I have a lot of friends that say, you know what? Hey, we're not winning a Super Bowl this year. We need to get rid of Shanahan. I was like, all right, well, that's kind of unrealistic.
Yeah,
you guys didn't make the playoffs last
extreme.
Year. So let's extreme. He's like, yeah, we were just in there, though. You got rid of all the toxicity. We should be back. And then there's the fans that say, you know what? Just get us in the playoffs. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we win it, that would be amazing. But if you just get me in there, win a game or two, I think I could be satisfied. Winning is ultimately, though, the common theme there. You got to win and compete for a playoff spot.
It's just so hard right now for Niner fans to come to grasp with the other guy that they could have had, but is also about the same age and is in the division, which makes it very, very difficult, is McVay, and he got his championship. The other guy that you've lost to was the guy who was searching for his first ever championship, and it felt like lived the existence of Kyle Shanahan in Philadelphia, and that's Andy Reid, right? There's just, God, it just feels like the knife gets twisted for Niner fans at every single turn. The team you hated so much, the Eagles, over the last couple years, well, they go on to win, and they beat that team that you lost to in overtime.
And it's that coach we all laugh at and can't stand. It's Nick Sirianni. How did he start his press conference when he was a rookie head coach? By the way, Kyle Shanahan won it all against him when he faced off against Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. You remember that game.
And you did it with the DC who came up short with Harbaugh.
Right.
Vic Fangio. That we all love.
Yep.
I mean, it's just like, the last couple of years have been really difficult to stomach.
Like, it's one thing if it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I know you hate it, but like, you can wrap your mind around, man, Mahomes, he's one of the all-time greats.
You ever talk to a Bengal fan?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Bengal fans, we lost twice to Joe Montana.
That's all right, right?
It's like, you know what? I get it.
And those were the closest Super Bowls, right? And they felt like they were right there, just like the Niners felt like they were right there both times. Maybe they feel like they should have won. By the way, stream your local NFL game all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're talking about the standard being set here with the San Francisco 49ers. We played some of the sound bites, and we had a lot of interesting ones from last season because, you know, the standard was them coming off a Super Bowl loss. They wanted to get right back there. So we heard from Kittle after that loss to the Vikings last season. Now hear from the quarterback after that brutal loss in Los Angeles against the Rams. This is what Brock Purdy had to say about the standard.
mean, it's pretty high with all of us and the standard that we have of, you know, obviously winning and closing out games. And when you got a 14-point lead, obviously anything can happen. But for us, it's like, all right, we have the momentum. Let's run with it. You know, we have a good enough team to finish out a game, you know, pretty early and put up points every drive offensively. You know, we're all pretty frustrated. So we just got to watch the film, get better from it. And we win and lose as a team. Everyone has their moments. But, man, more than anything, I just feel like it comes down to complimentary football, man. Once defense gets a stop, we have to score. And we have to be hard on ourselves with that. And just everything all together tied in. So it's four quarters of that. You know, you miss out on an opportunity and give the other team life. It's the NFL, man. The guys on the other side are really good, and they'll make you pay for it. So we had to learn the hard way today.
And we got a lot of people that want to chime in on the phone lines. We'll get to you, Steve and K. Bueno.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.